Protests began in Iran on the 15th of November over a sudden rise in the price of petrol. Iranians woke up. Boom! Suddenly, the price of gas tripled. The next day, some of the Iranian people protested the decision and the Iranian government blocked access to foreign websites over the week. The usual suspects in the mainstream media had a field day week, attempting to bash Iran as much as possible and to overdramatize the entire thing. Flames of unrest in Tehran. It has been a bad few months for Iran, at home and elsewhere in the Middle East. Footage shows crackdown on Iranian protests. It looks like a war zone, our observers report from inside Iran's protests. Like they have these generic headlines ready to go the moment anything happens inside Iran. Iran has arrested about 100 leaders of the protests against a hike in petrol prices, the judiciary says. They were identified and detained in various parts of the country by Iran's powerful revolutionary guards. Sinister. At least 115 people have been killed by Iranian security forces during protests over higher fuel prices over the past week. The human rights organization said in a tweet that its figure was based on credible reports. Some were getting way too excited and citing figures from God knows where. Iran's mullahs killed 400, wounded 4,000, and detained 10,000 in fight for their lives. Wow. Dramatic. By David Israel? Is subtlety just not a thing that we're doing anymore? But what actually did happen? I mean, what's going on? It's all crazy. Well, first of all, we have to understand that the decision by the Iranian government to raise the fuel prices had a rationale behind it. Number one, fuel has always been very cheap inside Iran, which on the surface level seems like a good thing, except it meant that fuel was being smuggled out of the country to fetch a better price rather than helping people inside. Number two, even after tripling the retail price of gas inside Iran, it still remains among the cheapest in the entire world. Number three, since fuel is a national resource, the new plan would mean that the people who could afford fuel at three times the price would continue to buy it. The excess money made from this would be circulated back to the disenfranchised and those who have lower wages. Like those who don't even have cars. I mean, how are they going to benefit from cheap gas in the country? It makes sense. But there were protests against the decision, as you'd expect, and as is the right of the people of Iran. The noble people of Iran have every right to protest and to demonstrate peacefully against the policies of the country which they find objectionable, as it should be everywhere in the world. But by the afternoon, most of these peaceful protesters went home. They were replaced by something which was quite different: violent rioters. But the mainstream media tried to paint them all with the same brush. Oh, they are all peaceful protesters. Let's actually take a look at these peaceful protesters. Do these look like ordinary civilians to you? Look at them. Their faces are covered. They're not even carrying banners. They're endangering the lives of the public. That's somebody's car they've burnt. That's somebody's building. In this example, if you look carefully, you can even see individuals hiding behind the rioters aiming guns. Given that it's illegal for civilians to carry firearms within the country, where did these violent rioters get these firearms from? Innocent civilians were shot at by these thugs and hospitalized, if not killed. Police officers were also murdered. Meanwhile, the mainstream media was reporting 115 people have been killed by Iranian security forces. Just painting the deceptive picture that they wish to show you. The reality is that the protests were hijacked by these very opportunists who sought to exploit the situation. These people do not represent the Iranian nation. These were Shah supporters or paid saboteurs of Zio America. They were well-organized, well-orchestrated, violent hooligans. Ordinary people in Iran don't behave like this, even if they are worried about the price of petrol being hiked up. This is why when the issue began, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khamenei, said, "Some people are no doubt worried by this decision, but sabotage and arson is done by hooligans, not our people. The counter-revolution in Iran's enemies have always supported sabotage and breaches of security and continue to do so." Some people were actually supporting these organized groups of violent thugs who were carrying out attacks on public buses, banks, gas stations, clinics, ambulances, and public property. Anybody who cares about the safety and well-being of the people would want to stop these violent criminals and would certainly never support them in any way. American politicians, however, were on a roll. A White House statement on November 17th expressed support for the Iranian people in their peaceful protests. Trump tweeted,
"Iran has become so unstable that the regime has shut down their entire internet system. Their entire internet system."
Iranian websites were running fine. We were using them. But Trump probably thinks that the entire internet system is just Twitter. The entire internet is not just Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. It might surprise some people that Iranians have their own platforms for social media networking, video hosting, and traveling. And they're pretty good. While this was all going on, we were watching videos on Upper Arm. Hillary Clinton says Iran crackdown disturbing and asks for accountability. Why is she still talking? Why is she still alive? On November 22nd, Secretary Pompeo tweeted, "I have asked the Iranian protesters to send us their videos, photos, and information documenting the regime's crackdown on protesters. The US will expose and sanction the abuses." Even Bernie Sanders had a go. He seemed very happy that the rioters had burned some poor guy's bike. All these American politicians were pretty much egging on the violent rioters. Mike Pompeo tweeted, "The United States is with you." The hilarious thing about this is that even the Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman called the statement hypocritical and said, "The statement of Mike Pompeo left us puzzled." She said, "It turns out that on the one hand, Washington supports the aspirations of the Iranian people, at least verbally, and on the other hand, they are doing anything possible to make the population of this country suffer." And that's so true. American politicians claim and pretend to care about the human rights of the Iranian people, while they're the ones who are attacking the Iranian people through sanctions attempting to deprive them of humanitarian goods like basic medical supplies. Sarah Leah Whitson at the Human Rights Watch said, "Trump administration officials claim they stand with the Iranian people, but the overboard and burdensome US sanctions regime is harming Iranians' right to health, including access to life-saving medicines. In fact, there are children inside Iran who are suffering because of the policies of America. America has pretty much bullied the world into not trading with Iran and made things hard on the people of the nation." But that's okay, because the Iranian people are already starting to overcome these difficulties through reliance on God and the direction of the leader. On October 8th, 2019, in the exhibition of Knowledge-Based Enterprises and Advanced Technologies, they proved that they can make their own products. Among the displayed achievements of these enterprises were domestically developed high-tech medical systems in cancer diagnosis, hemodialysis, robot and neural prosthesis surgery, laboratory equipment, vaccines, and advanced medication productions, among other extraordinary developments made by the Iranian people. The leader said, "Rely in God and move forward with hope and enthusiasm. You will surely be able to put an end to the country's economic problems, God willing." Look, back in June, Iran shot down one of the USA's drones, and this was no ordinary drone. This was a monster. According to Forbes, the RQ-4A Global Hawk is a highly advanced and unmanned surveillance drone. Each drone cost the US government over $220 million. $220 million to manufacture. The RQ-4A boasts a wingspan of over 130 feet and can reach speeds of over 390 miles per hour. This was a $220 million UAV that acts as a massive surveillance platform in the sky. And the drone is designed to be harder to hit because it flies at altitudes beyond the reach of many air defense systems. And Iran shot it down with a surface-to-air missile. You're such losers! You spend so much money and you still fail. You just don't get it. Now, what this all really, really does all go to show is that American politicians and the mainstream media will jump at any opportunity to try to show that Iran is weak. Public anger, protests nationwide, protesters chanting death to the dictator against Iran's supreme leader, overwhelmed by protests. "Violence won't stop Iranian protesters determined to topple this regime," says human rights activists. All of their efforts are focused on attempting to show that Iran, its system of governance, and its people are battered and weak and tired. They paint a picture as though the region is on fire, the country is utterly shaken, and that the people of Iran hate the Islamic Revolution, and that the Islamic Republic is on the verge of collapse. But one thing that the enemies always overlook is that these are not ordinary people that you can just bully into doing whatever you want them to do. These are the people of the Quran. These are the people of the Ahlul Bayt. These are people who have shed tears for Imam Hussein. These are people whose allegiance is for Imam al-Mahdi. The mainstream media will magnify, exalt, and praise a bunch of violent individuals. But what they won't show you is what happened after the riots. What the mainstream media will never show you is the counter demonstrations, where people came out flocking in their multitudes, men, women, children, scholars, workers, bankers, lawyers, engineers, doctors, scientists, students, soldiers. Look at them. Look at them, because the mainstream media will not show you. They are chanting God is great. They are chanting that they will never leave Imam Khamenei. It was cold in Iran. I'm wearing a woolly hat and gloves and a coat just to get to madrasa in the morning. On top of that, it wasn't a weekend that all these people came out holding pictures of their leader to show their support. It was a working day. This is the public of Iran. These are men, women, and children who have come out to voice their undying support for Islam, for the Islamic system, and for the leader of the Islamic revolution, Imam Khamenei. And they have come out without the leader even mentioning to them to do so. This is a public-led effort. Imagine what these people would do if Imam Khamenei gives the order. Mr. Pompeo, I thought you asked the Iranian people to send you photos and videos. Here they are. I thought you said the United States is with the Iranian people. Well, here they are. Are you with them? Do you support them? Of course you don't. When just a handful of hooligans start throwing riots and burning public property, those who are the flag bearers of democracy start jumping up and down. Well, where does your democracy suddenly go when it's crystal clear that the majority of the Iranian people support and love and vote for, and many of them would die for, the Islamic system? Suddenly your democracy hides under your hypocritical tongues. Why? Because your version of democracy is only for those who wish to submit to America. And this is precisely the hegemonic, pharaohanic mentality. America wants to buy people's freedom and make them submit to its own demands. And if they refuse to sell themselves, then America will bully and threaten and bomb and sanction them. It uses all of the money, media, and military at its disposal to make the world submit to it. This is precisely what the Pharaoh did when Allah sent Musa to challenge him. And the Holy Quran states, and Moses said, "Our Lord, indeed you have given Pharaoh and his establishment splendor and wealth in the worldly life, our Lord, that they may lead men astray from your way." Imam Khamenei states, today the pharaohs are these people. Today the pharaoh is America. Today the pharaoh is the Zionist regime. The pharaohanic mentality is all about materialism, the American dream, capitalism, enslaving people through their own desires. Now, Islam is not against living a well-off life. It's not against making progress in the material sense of things, but rather that there ought to be balance in society. This is why Imam Khamenei says, in the new Islamic civilization, spirituality exists alongside material welfare, and moral and spiritual transcendence, humility, and supplication exist alongside material prosperity. It is for the building of this balanced new Islamic civilization to which Imam Khamenei is calling the people of the world for the sake of Imam Mahdi. And it is for this that the followers of Imam Khamenei are working tirelessly. A balanced society, the universal slogans of which Imam Khamenei has highlighted as being freedom, ethics, spirituality, justice, independence, dignity, rationality, and brotherhood. They, America and its allies, don't want us to build this. The bottom line is, the new Islamic civilization is a threat to the Zio-American, materialistic, oppressive, deceptive, colonial, imperialistic New World Order. That's why they hate Iran. They will do anything to try to stop Iran and its people from progressing. They threaten Iran, but the people of Iran are not cowards. In fact, there's too many believers inside Iran, and a believer responds differently to the enemies when they gather their forces against them. The Holy Quran says, and when the believers saw the companies, the enemy forces gathered against them, they said, "This is what Allah and His Messenger had promised us, and Allah and His Messenger spoke the truth, and it only increased them in faith and submission." America should know that the more military they bring, the more economic burdens, the more threats and bombardments and sanctions, the more the people of Iran will resist them and the more their faith will grow. And faith in Allah and His Messenger is always going to be more powerful than all the armies of man and jinn combined. This is why Imam Khamenei has said, if we look closely at the developments in the region and the world, we will see that the more the enemies spend, the more they will lose.
Because you're losers.
You instilled a dictator, the Shah, which the people of Iran overthrew. You then backed Saddam Hussein to wage a war against Iran for 8 years, but the people of Iran defended their country. You invaded two of Iran's neighbors, but the people of Iran secured their borders. You backed the Takfiri Wahhabi Saudi regime to put pressure on Iran, but the people of Iran resisted. Then you created, backed, and funded Daesh ISIS terrorists in the entire region and attempted to assault the shrine of Sayyidah Zainab, but the people of Iran hunted those mercenary terrorists down and crushed them like cockroaches. You put sanctions on Iran, now you're backing rioters in Iran. You're gonna try everything to put economic pressure on Iran, and you'll fail again and again and again because you're losers and you just don't get it. Imam Khamenei has said, I will tell you that after being disappointed at all other measures, the enemy's plan today is to create a rift between the Islamic Republic and the dear people of Iran. This stems from their ignorance. They do not know that the Islamic Republic is nothing but the people of Iran. They are inseparable. The Islamic government is not a bureaucratic government which is sitting in palaces and castles while being separate from the people. The Islamic government is a government formed by the people themselves. It is dependent on the masses of the people and on their faith, kindness and sentiments. The Islamic government is this. These are the people of Iran, the people of Persia, the people of Khorasan. You better know them. You better start believing it. The Messenger of Allah is reported to have said, there are treasures in Khorasan, but they are not gold and silver. Instead, they are men whom God and His Messenger love. The Holy Prophet is also reported to have said that the people of Persia, the Iranians, are a group from us, the Ahlul Bayt. One of the cities in Iran is called Qum, which in Arabic means rise. Imam Sadiq, the sixth Imam, said, do you know why Qum is named Qum, i.e. rise? He said, it is called Qum because its inhabitants will rally behind the Qa'im of Muhammad's progeny, the Mahdi, and rise up along with him. Along this line, they will show their perseverance and assist him. Now, does this mean that everyone in the holy city of Qum and everyone in Iran is included among these? No. There are people with low levels of iman and faith in every part of the world. But it should not surprise anyone that today, the hub and center of pure Muhammadan Islam is none other than Iran, where the divine Islamic system of Wilayatul Faqih has been established, and that it is these people who are tirelessly preparing the grounds for Imam Mahdi. After all, Islam is a universal religion which did not come only for a select few, but for the entire world. In fact, it is the duty of all Muslim nations to do this and to resist and to prepare in this way. Iranians are doing it, even if other nations are not, though they were expected to. The Holy Quran says, O you who have believed, whoever of you should revert from his religion, Allah will bring forth in place of them a people he will love and who will love him. Who are humble towards the believers, powerful against the disbelievers, they strive in the cause of Allah and do not fear the blame of a critic. In fact, when asked about this very verse, it is reported that the Prophet put his hand on the shoulder of Salman al-Farsi, the Persian, and said that this verse is indicating him and his people. Don't you think it's about time that we started believing in the words of the Holy Quran and the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt? But the disbelievers and hypocrites will never believe in this. And that's why they're going to continue to fail, because they just don't get it. In fact, as for the enemies of Iran and the pharaohs of today, we know they will never believe. That's why our prayer against them is the same prayer that Musa made against the pharaoh. Our Lord, obliterate their wealth and harden their hearts so that they will not believe until they see the painful punishment. And their punishment is certainly coming very soon. The Holy Prophet is reported to have said, the black banners will come from the people of the East whose hearts are like pieces of iron in firmness. Then anyone who becomes informed of their movement will go to them and pay allegiance to them, even to the extent of traveling over ice if it's necessary. It is also reported, when you see the black flags coming out from the direction of Khorasan, then go to them, even if you have to crawl on snow, for verily among them is the Khalifa of Allah the Mahdi. Do whatever it takes to join them, even if you have to crawl over ice on your hands and knees, whatever difficulties and trials and burdens you have to bear them, but get to that movement. These ahadith have been in the books for well over 1,000 years. Even if you go 40 years back, there were no signs of any of these coming true. If you had have looked at them, you probably would have conveniently ignored them. Now, after 40 years of the completion of the Islamic Revolution, these seem to be coming true. Do you believe in coincidences? Because what if, when you glance at the words of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, and then you look at the people of Iran, what if you're not looking at coincidence? What if you're not looking at chance? What if you're looking at providence? What if you're looking at the fulfillment of the prophecies which have been mentioned over 1,000 years ago? What if they are now coming true? Imam Baqir, the fifth Imam, said, "It is as if I can see a community that will stage an uprising in the East and demand rights, but rights will not be given to them. They will seek again, but again it will not be granted to them. In such a state of affairs, swords will be unsheathed and put on the shoulder. At that time, the enemy will accept their demands, but they will not accept it. They will stage an uprising and will not give the right to anyone except to its owner of the affair. Their killed ones are martyrs. If I knew them, I would have prepared myself for the owner of this affair." This is the second phase of the revolution, the age of colonialism, of imperialism, where the people of the world remain as slaves, is over. The age where the oppressed and righteous servants rise up has now begun. Just as the Bible foretold, "The meek shall inherit the earth," so too has the Holy Quran affirmed that "My righteous servants shall inherit the earth." In the manifesto of the second phase of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khamenei has stated, "On that day in the past when the world was divided between the materialistic East and the materialistic West, and no one imagined a major religious movement could emerge, the Islamic Revolution of Iran stepped into the scene gloriously and mightily. It broke the status quo. It showed the world the outdatedness of their cliches. It propounded and brought the religion of Islam and the material world together and declared the start of a new era. After the Islamic Revolution, it was natural and expected that the leaders of deviation and oppression would react negatively. But this reaction was unsuccessful and in vain. Whatever the left or right modernity did, from pretending to ignore this emerging unprecedented and unique voice to the widespread and numerous efforts to suffocate it, whatever they did just brought them closer to their own definite demise. Today, after the passing of 40 annual celebrations of the victory of the Islamic Revolution and 40 10 days of Fajr, one of the two systems of enmity has perished, Eastern communism, and the other, Western capitalism, is struggling with predicaments which signal its death in the near future. Whereas the Islamic Revolution is advancing, all the while preserving and adhering to its original stances. And don't let anyone deceive you into thinking that Iran and its people are alone or isolated either. No. Today the resistance forces are in full throttle. We have Hezbollah in Lebanon, we have Hamas in Palestine, we have the Hashd al-Sha'bi and Kataib Hezbollah in Iraq, we have the Zainabiyun in Pakistan, we have the Fatimiyun in Afghanistan, we have Ansarullah in Yemen, we have Christian allies, we have Jewish allies, we have allies of different faiths too, within Iran, throughout West Asia, and in every country in the world. The global resistance network is only getting stronger. The oppression, hatred, and materialism of the world is fading away. A brighter, fairer, balanced, and more beautiful world is on the horizon. Without a shadow of doubt, inshallah, the new Islamic civilization will be established, and Imam Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, will be its khalif. Don't think that Iran is where the revolution ends. This is the land where the revolution begins.